The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 10. Relics of Tree Worship in Modern Europe. Part 2. We can hardly doubt that originally the practice everywhere was to set up a new May tree every year. As the object of the custom was to bring in the fructifying spirit of vegetation, newly awakened in spring, the end would have been defeated if, instead of a living tree, green and sappy, an old withered one had been erected year after year or allowed to stand permanently. When, however, the meaning of the custom had been forgotten, and the May tree was regarded simply as a center for holiday merrymaking, people saw no reason for felling a fresh tree every year, and preferred to let the same tree stand permanently, only decking it with fresh flowers on May Day. But even when the maple had thus become a fixture, the need of giving it the appearance of being a green tree, not a dead bole, was sometimes felt. Thus at Wervorum in Cheshire, are two maypoles, which are decorated on this day, May Day, with all due attention to the ancient solemnity. The sides are hung with garlands, and the top terminated by a birch or other tall slender tree with its leaves on. The bark being peeled, and the stem spliced to the pole, so as to give the appearance of one tree from the summit. Thus the renewal of the May tree is like the renewal of the harvest May. Each is intended to secure a fresh portion of the fertilizing spirit of vegetation, and to preserve it throughout the year. But whereas the efficacy of the harvest May is restricted to promoting the growth of the crops, that of the May tree or May branch extends also, as we have seen, to women and cattle. Lastly, it is worth noting that the old May tree is sometimes burned at the end of the year. Thus in the district of Prague young people break pieces of the public May tree and place them behind the holy pictures in their rooms, where they remain till next May Day, and are then burned on the hearth. In Württemberg the bushes which are set up on the houses on Palm Sunday are sometimes left there for a year and then burned. So much for the tree spirit conceived as incorporate or immanent in the tree. We have now to show that the tree spirit is often conceived and represented as detached from the tree and clothed in human form, and even as embodied in living men or women. The evidence for this anthropomorphic representation of the tree spirit is largely to be found in the popular customs of European peasantry. There is an instructive class of cases in which the tree spirit is represented simultaneously in vegetable form and in human form, which are set side by side as if for the express purpose of explaining each other. In these cases the human representative of the tree spirit is sometimes a doll or puppet, sometimes a living person, but whether a puppet or a person, it is placed beside a tree or bough. So that together the person or puppet, and the tree or bough, form a sort of bilingual inscription, the one being, so to speak, a translation of the other. Here, therefore, there is no room left for doubt that the spirit of the tree is actually represented in human form. Thus in Bohemia, on the fourth Sunday in Lent, young people throw a puppet called Death into the water. Then the girls go into the wood, cut down a young tree, and fasten to it a puppet dressed in white clothes to look like a woman. With this tree and puppet they go from house to house collecting gratuities and singing songs with the refrain. We carry death out of the village, we bring summer into the village. Here, as we shall see later on, the summer is the spirit of vegetation returning or reviving in spring. In some parts of our own country children go about asking for pence with some small imitations of maypoles, and with a finely dressed doll which they call the Lady of the May. In these cases the tree and the puppet are obviously regarded as equivalent. At Tann, in Alsace, a girl called the Little May Rose, dressed in white, carries a small May tree, which is gay with garlands and ribbons. Her companions collect gifts from door to door, singing a song. Little May Rose turned round three times, let us look at you round and round. Rose of the May, come to the greenwood away, we will be merry all. So we go from the May to the roses. In the course of the song, a wish is expressed that those who give nothing may lose their fowls by the martin, that their vine may bear no clusters, their tree no nuts, their field no corn. The produce of the year is supposed to depend on the gifts offered to these May singers. Here and in the cases mentioned above, where children go about with green boughs or garlands on May Day singing and collecting money, the meaning is that with the spirit of vegetation they bring plenty and good luck to the house, and they expect to be paid for the service. In Russian Lithuania, on the 1st of May, they used to set up a green tree before the village. Then the rustic swains chose the prettiest girl, crowned her, swathed her in birch branches and set her beside the May tree, where they danced, sang, and shouted, "O May! O May!" In Brie, Isle de France, a May tree is erected in the midst of the village. Its top is crowned with flowers. Lower down it is twined with leaves and twigs, still lower with huge green branches. The girls dance round it, and at the same time a lad wrapped in leaves and called Father May is led about. In the small towns of the Frankenwald Mountains in northern Bavaria, on the 2nd of May, a alba tree is erected before a tavern, and a man dances round it, enveloped in straw from head to foot in such a way that the ears of corn unite above his head to form a crown. He is called the alba, and used to be led in procession through the streets, which were adorned with sprigs of birch. Amongst the Slavs of Carinthia, on St. George's Day, the 23rd of April, the young people deck with flowers and garlands a tree which has been felled on the eve of the festival. The tree is then carried in procession, accompanied with music and joyful acclamations, the chief figure in the procession being the Green George, a young fellow clad from head to foot in green birch branches. At the close of the ceremonies, the Green George, that is an effigy of him, is thrown into the water. It is the aim of the lad who acts Green George to step out of his leafy envelope and substitute the effigy so adroitly that no one shall perceive the change. In many places, however, the lad himself who plays the part of Green George is ducked in a river or pond, with the express intention of thus ensuring rain to make the fields and meadows green in summer. In some places the cattle are crammed and driven from their stalls to the accompaniment of a song. Green George we bring, Green George we accompany, may he feed our herd well. If not, to the water with him. Here we see that the same powers of making rain and fostering the cattle, which are ascribed to the tree spirit regarded as incorporate in the tree, are also attributed to the tree spirit represented by a living man. Among the gypsies of Transylvania and Romania, the festival of Green George is the chief celebration of spring. Some of them keep it on Easter Monday, others on St. George's Day, the 23rd of April. On the eve of the festival, a young willow tree is cut down, adorned with garlands and leaves, and set up in the ground. Women with child place one of their garments under the tree, and leave it there overnight. If next morning they find a leaf of the tree lying on the garment, they know that their delivery will be easy. Sick and old people go to the tree in the evening, spit on it thrice, and say, "You will soon die, but let us live." Next morning the gypsies gather about the willow. The chief figure of the festival is Green George, a lad who is concealed from top to toe in green leaves and blossoms. He throws a few handfuls of grass to the beasts of the tribe, in order that they may have no lack of fodder throughout the year. Then he takes three iron nails, which have lain for 3 days and nights in water, and knocks them into the willow. After which he pulls them out and flings them into a running stream to propitiate the water spirits. Finally, a pretense is made of throwing Green George into the water, but in fact it is only a puppet made of branches and leaves which is ducked in the stream. In this version of the custom, the powers of granting an easy delivery to women and of communicating vital energy to the sick and old are clearly ascribed to the willow. While Green George, the human double of the tree, bestows food on the cattle, and further ensures the favor of the water spirits by putting them in indirect communication with the tree. Without citing more examples to the same effect, we may sum up the results of the preceding pages in the words of Mannhardt, The customs quoted suffice to establish with certainty the conclusion that in these spring processions the spirit of vegetation is often represented both by the May tree and in addition by a man dressed in green leaves or flowers or by a girl similarly adorned. It is the same spirit which animates the tree and is active in the inferior plants and which we have recognized in the May tree and the harvest May. Quite consistently, the spirit is also supposed to manifest his presence in the first flower of spring and reveals himself both in a girl representing a May rose, and also, as giver of harvest, in the person of the Walba. The procession with this representative of the divinity was supposed to produce the same beneficial effects on the fowls, the fruit trees, and the crops as the presence of the deity himself. In other words, the mummer was regarded not as an image but as an actual representative of the spirit of vegetation. Hence the wish expressed by the attendants on the May rose and the May tree that those who refuse them gifts of eggs, bacon, and so forth, may have no share in the blessings which it is in the power of the itinerant spirit to bestow. We may conclude that these begging processions with May trees or May boughs from door to door, bringing the May or the summer, had everywhere originally a serious and, so to speak, sacramental significance. People really believed that the god of growth was present unseen in the bough. By the procession he was brought to each house to bestow his blessing. The names May, Father May Lady, Queen of the May, by which the anthropomorphic spirit of vegetation is often denoted, show that the idea of the spirit of vegetation is blent with the personification of the season at which his powers are most strikingly manifested. So far we have seen that the tree spirit or the spirit of vegetation in general is represented either in vegetable form alone, as by a tree, bough, or flower, or in vegetable and human form simultaneously, as by a tree, bough, or flower in combination with a puppet or a living person. It remains to show that the representation of him by a tree, bough, or flower is sometimes entirely dropped, while the representation of him by a living person remains. In this case, the representative character of the person is generally marked by dressing him or her in leaves or flowers. Sometimes, too, it is indicated by the name he or she bears. Thus, in some parts of Russia on St. George's Day, the 23rd of April, a youth is dressed out, like our Jack in the Green, with leaves and flowers. The Slovenes call him the Green George. Holding a lighted torch in one hand and a pie in the other, he goes out to the cornfields, followed by girls singing appropriate songs. A circle of brushwood is next lighted, in the middle of which is set the pie. All who take part in the ceremony then sit down around the fire and divide the pie among them. In this custom, the Green George dressed in leaves and flowers is plainly identical with the similarly disguised Green George who is associated with a tree in the Carinthian, Transylvanian, and Romanian customs observed on the same day. Again, we saw that in Russia at Whitsuntide a birch tree is dressed in woman's clothes and set up in the house. Clearly equivalent to this is the custom observed on Whit Monday by Russian girls in the district of Pinsk. They choose the prettiest of their number, envelop her in a mass of foliage taken from the birch trees and maples, and carry her about through the village. In Russia, as soon as the trees begin to grow green in spring, the children assemble on a Sunday and go out into the woods, where they choose one of their playmates to be the little leaf man. They break branches from the trees and twine them about the child till only his shoes peep out from the leafy mantle. Holes are made in it for him to see through, and two of the children lead the little leaf man that he may not stumble or fall. Singing and dancing, they take him from house to house, asking for gifts of food such as eggs, cream, sausages, and cakes. Lastly, they sprinkle the leaf man with water and feast on the food they have collected. In the Fricktal, Switzerland, at Whitsuntide boys go out into a wood and swathe one of their number in leafy boughs. He is called the Whitsuntide Lout, and being mounted on horseback with a green branch in his hand he is led back into the village. At the village well a halt is called and the leaf-clad lout is dismounted and ducked in the trough. Thereby he acquires the right of sprinkling water on everybody, and he exercises the right specially on girls and street urchins. The urchins march before him in bands, begging him to give them a Whitsuntide wettying.